Overall, the market's performing really well. So we do see a lot of peaks and troughs in terms of how the market does perform. But at the moment, we're seeing it's very strong. We're very lucky in pharmacy in that access to capital is very strong and hopefully will remain that way. And because of that, it means that our industry has performed well compared to other small to medium-sized enterprise business sales markets. Overall, in my time in business sales, the last year and a half has probably been the most active and the most robust market that I've seen.
Hi, I'm Natalie Siriani, Director and Business Broker specialising in pharmacy at Attain, and you're listening to the Pharmacy Business and Career Network podcast.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Business and Career Network podcast, brought to you by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia. Focusing on pharmacy management and ownership, the PBCN podcast supports the improvement and growth of your business performance with insights and advice from a range of industry professionals. The PBCN podcast, supporting your journey every step of the way.
Working for yourself, owning your own successful business is something a lot of people dream about. And a fair few people end up realising that dream. The thought of owning your own pharmacy can be very attractive, but if you're going to make a success of it, you need to ensure that you purchase the right type of pharmacy, and that requires a lot of pre-sale groundwork. Conversely, if you already own your own pharmacy, then the time will come when you will want to sell it. No doubt, you would have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into building a successful business that you are rightly proud of, and you'll want a great price for it. So whether you are looking to own your own pharmacy one day or a sale is on the horizon, you'll gain a lot from our guest on this episode, a business broker who specializes in pharmacy. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the PBCN podcast, brought to you by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia. I'm your host, Daniel Oyston, and it is great to have you listening into this episode as we discuss buying and selling pharmacies. Our guest this episode is Natalie Siriani, a business broker from Attain who specializes in pharmacy. Now, Natalie has over 12 years experience working in pharmacy valuation, research, management consulting, and of course, business broking. Natalie aims to provide pharmacy owners and aspiring owners with the highest level of service during the process of buying and selling a pharmacy. And her knowledge, commitment, and professionalism, combined with the experience of the wider Attain team, have led to many successful pharmacy business sales over the years. Here's Natalie. Natalie Siriani, welcome to the show. Can you tell us what's unique about buying or selling a pharmacy just compared to any other type of business?
Thanks for having me, Daniel. It's great to be on the show today. Look, overall, the process of buying and selling any business is essentially the same or follows a similar path throughout. However, buying a pharmacy or selling a pharmacy is unique in the sense that because there are so many regulations associated with pharmacy ownership, such as the location and ownership rules, as a business broker, we need to follow a certain number of additional steps, such as Medicare or Pharmacy Location Authority approvals. And that obviously adds additional steps to the process, which is different to any other business sale out there. Of course, as well, both the buyer and the vendor, when I say vendor, I mean the seller of the business, must be registered pharmacists. So a difference that I have selling pharmacies as opposed to some of my other colleagues in business brokers in different industries is that they're dealing with buyers from a whole range of industries that have very different backgrounds in what they do, whereas we're very lucky in pharmacy business sales. We're always dealing with pharmacists, so most of the buyers that are coming into the business know the business really well. So we're not educating as much to the buyer itself. They really know what they're doing there. And probably one of the other main differences for the difference between pharmacy business sales versus any other business is that often in other businesses, particularly medical related businesses, what you'll find is that there's a long trial period or training process in terms of the handover of a pharmacy business, whereas with pharmacy, usually it's a fairly short trial, or there's no trial process, sorry, but it's a fairly short handover as well. So really when anyone gets into pharmacy business, day one, they have to start running straight away because it's a very quick takeover. So all in all, the process is very similar, but there are some unique things specific to pharmacy that we must follow in terms of the sales.
And would you say that those are really the main reasons that people should consider engaging a pharmacy business broker like yourself when buying or selling a pharmacy?
Oh, yeah, very much so. So because of those specific requirements, and they're all around the legislation around pharmacy ownership, they're very specific, and it's important that when you're dealing with a business broker that you do use one that's pharmacy specific, and really all the advisors that you use, you're going to want to ensure that they're pharmacy specific so that they know what those steps are. What you find is that, you know, selling a business or buying a business, it's a fairly large transaction usually. So if there's a mistake or there's a delay in any form, it can be fairly costly for either side, whether it's the buyer or the seller of the business. So it's really important that you have advice that is pharmacy specific throughout the process, so that your advisors and your broker in particular knows what to do and does those things correctly. Because like I said, they can be pretty costly. You know, as a business broker, every day we're working on business sales, and for me, I just specialise in pharmacy, so working on pharmacy business sales. So, you know, we know the process, we know what's involved, we know what comes next, and that ensures that everything goes smoothly or as smoothly as it can. And then, of course, you can get the best outcome in terms of both sale price but also time frame as well. And like I said, it's pretty big business that you're working in, so it's important that you don't have those mistakes, because they can be pretty costly.
And you spoke about what came next and it being smooth and all those little points. Not only can delays be costly, but it can be quite a stressful process buying and selling a business on both sides of the fence, can't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a big, and what the funny thing is about it, you usually only go through it maybe once or twice throughout your career. So you're not used to those delays, and totally 100% can be very stressful part of the process, Daniel.
How is the pharmacy business sales market performing in Australia at the moment?
Overall, the market's performing really well. So we do see a lot of peaks and troughs in terms of how the market does perform, but at the moment we're seeing it's very strong. What we're seeing is we've got good demand side, so a lot of buyers looking to get into the market, and the supply, just because of the way obviously pharmacy ownership works in Australia, the supply of pharmacies on the market is always going to be limited. Supply has picked up in recent years, but it's still fairly low compared to what the demand levels is. So what we're finding is, as a result, there's lots of demand looking to buy a fairly small number of businesses on the market, and that's leading to overall a well-performing market at the moment. Having said that, what we're finding is there are a few different tiers to the market. So the type of pharmacy that it is, the location for where it is, the size and operational characteristics as well, they can strongly impact on the overall result of the business sale. So although we say, yeah, overall it's quite a good market, each individual business can have, I guess, a very different reality once it does go to market. And that just depends on what the buyers are looking for. But overall, in my time in business sales, the last year and a half has probably been the most active and the most robust market that I've seen.
And is that pharmacy business sales market performance, and as you said, the most robust, is it generally in line with the overall business sales market in Australia at the moment?
Yeah, it can vary a lot in terms of different industries. So the way that I probably see most of what's going on in other industries is through my networking and colleagues of other business brokers that specialise in different industries, whether it be hospitality or financials or professional type businesses. What we're finding at the moment, as I did say, the pharmacy market's relatively robust, and part of the reason it is so robust is because pharmacy buyers and owners have really good sources and access to finance, and most of that finance is coming through the banks, and the Australian banks are very positive about pharmacy, and they are willing to lend at good rates to pharmacists and pharmacy owners in particular. And what we're finding at the moment is in other small and medium-sized businesses in other industries, their access to finance or access to capital is much lower than what we're seeing in pharmacy. So what that's meant in recent years for other industries is that even though interest rates are at record lows, those business owners are struggling to get the capital and struggling to get that finance from banks and even other lending facilities. And because of that, the business sales in other industries is not performing as well as pharmacy. So we're very lucky in pharmacy in that that access to capital is very strong and hopefully will remain that way. And because of that, it means that our industry has performed well compared to other small to medium-sized enterprise business sales markets. From my point of view, probably the recent Royal Banking Commission will mean that perhaps those other industries may even have a further reduction in access to capital. And I'm really interested to see how that plays out as well for pharmacy and if that will have an impact for pharmacy moving forward. But obviously, it's still very early days in terms of how that plays out.
You said that it's the most robust that you've seen and there's good access to capital. Are there any other trends that you're seeing in the pharmacy business sales at the moment?
It's probably one of the most frustrating parts of my roles at the moment. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is that in recent years, the sales are taking a lot longer than they have in the past. And it's not one particular part of the process that's taking longer. It's, you know, each step in the process is taking a little bit longer. The banks are taking longer for finance. The landlords are taking longer for lease transfers. And all the relevant authorities, both Medicare and the state-based authorities, are taking a little bit longer as well. So it's, in general, the process is taking longer. As I mentioned and mentioned a few times, it is quite robust, but that sale process is taking a lot longer. So what we're finding is that clients are going to have to start preparing for sale a lot earlier. And part of that often relates to, I think, both buyers, whether it be first-time buyers or experienced buyers, are increasing the level of due diligence that they do in terms of the process. So they're going to a lot more scrutiny, a lot more level of investigation in their due diligence, which is essentially just verifying the financial and other information for the pharmacy itself. And that process is taking a lot longer. So certainly in terms of trends, the business sales are taking a lot longer. There's a lot more scrutiny come from the buyers, and that's probably really picked up in recent years. And probably in terms of the types of businesses that people are looking for, there is a trend towards higher demand for smaller metropolitan businesses, and we're finding that those businesses are selling very well in the market. Firstly, because they're obviously quite affordable because they're smaller, they're metropolitan located, so therefore they're more attractive to buyers because they're easy to access them, and there's a lot of buyers looking for that type of business, so high demand there. So those businesses selling really well as a result, and that's probably a trend that we've seen in recent years, a more, push towards those smaller metropolitan pharmacies. What we're also finding in opposition to that is that the smaller rural pharmacies are struggling to sell a little bit, and part of the reason that we're seeing there is a lot of the younger buyers don't necessarily want to go into those rural areas, so that market's been a little slower than we've seen in the past. So like I said earlier, there's a bit of, you know, a tiered market for what we're seeing, and that's probably showing a little bit more in recent years as well.
Natalie, what are the main differences between sole ownerships and partnerships when it comes to pharmacies? And I'm interested in if there are any benefits to either one, either based on people's circumstances, or are there any traps or dangers people need to be wary of with either one?
Yeah, definitely. And that's a really big one that we're seeing a lot at the moment, Daniel, because partnerships and ownership, you know, can be very different and certainly well suited to some people and not well suited to other people. But what we find at the moment is that because in terms of the price and the capital required to get into a pharmacy business or into pharmacy ownership, we're finding a lot of people are moving towards partnership options because there's less capital required for them to get into a business. So what it means is that they can buy a portion of the business and it allows for a lower point of entry. So they don't have to fund the full purchase price, obviously, to get into the business. And there are ways that you can structure the partnership so they don't require as much finance upfront as they would otherwise. The partnerships provide a great benefit of that. So an incoming buyer can have less capital than they would need to buy a whole business. But also what it provides with is the incoming partner is often perhaps a first-time pharmacy owner. And what you find is that the senior partner or the business owner that's already there can provide a great mentoring role. Younger person coming in, or doesn't necessarily have to be younger person, but, you know, the newer owner. And what you find then as well is that in turn, the incoming partner will provide a lot of new energy and ideas for the business and innovation for the business as well. So it's really a win-win situation, but the most important thing that it actually works. So both the senior and the junior partner need to get on fairly well in terms of their operation. And also you have to have a really good understanding for whose roles are what and what each party needs to do and also what each party gets paid as well. So while partnership can be a really good way to do it, there are some risks associated with it, and you do see sometimes when we get into cases of partnership disputes where, and often it's when there's no partnership agreement and there's not clear-cut rules for what each partner can and will do. In terms of ownership, sole ownership, obviously, you know, it makes it a lot simpler in the sense that you're the only one that needs to make the decisions. You can make all the decisions that you want, but in contrast to that, you do take on all the risk as well. So you have to have the full capital going in, and if there is a problem, there's not really usually someone that you can lean on to do that. So it's usually a personal preference whether people do like to go into partnership or full ownership. Sometimes it's how the opportunity arises. But historically, partnerships have worked really well in pharmacy, and I see real a great opportunity for them moving forward just because of the, you know, the high prices for pharmacies being paid and capital required as well. I think it's, you know, a really important part of the industry.
How much does the success of partnerships that you've seen that have worked really well are almost needed because quite often pharmacies are 7 days a week and it's great to have an owner there pretty much all of the time?
And what you find is that most businesses where the partnerships work well, the partners are actually working in the businesses, and when they're 7 day traders or extended trading during the week, that becomes really important. And what we find is that most pharmacies that do have a owner operator there, whether it's a partnership or a full owner, a sole proprietor working there, it definitely does improve the performance of the business. And so that's something that you really see. You know, they've got long trading hours, obviously high capital requirements. The partnership is a really good way to address those issues for sure.
Owning a business can offer some great rewards, but there can also be risks. And we kind of touched on a little bit there with sole ownership and partnerships. What risks do you see with pharmacy ownership right now overall? But also, I'm interested also potentially on the horizon and growing in the next couple of years.
You're 100% right there, Daniel. Obviously, any business that you buy, there's going to be risks there, and that's why you do get some of the great rewards that you mentioned. I think, you know, there's always been risks associated with buying and owning a business, and I think now's probably, you know, not as in terms of the risks there are great risks in any business that you go along with. But certainly the biggest risk that we see in terms of buyers that come into a business is having ill-prepared buyers who don't do their proper due diligence as part of the purchase process. And then if they don't have the right team in place to manage the pharmacy once it's purchased as well. Because often you find that when you're dealing with a buyer, it's quite a stressful process and a long process to get into the business. And then once they're finally in there, they may not have a plan for what they're going to do once they are in there. And that's when you find that sometimes they can hit some roadblocks and hit some problems because they spent so much effort in the purchase process and then when they get there, they haven't thought about what they're going to do next. So it's really important that buyers work with their advisors and sit down and really plan what they're going to do once they are in the business. In terms of the pharmacy industry in general and the pharmacy, you know, risks that I see moving forward, there's probably three key areas that I see as the main risks. And probably firstly, the one coming up will be the next community pharmacy agreement getting signed in 2020. And that'll be a huge, huge step. Every time we have a new CPA getting signed, that does impact on the pharmacy market, because there is risk associated with what will come in there, what will be the new opportunities, what will be the changes, and how will that impact on pharmacy profitability and pharmacy ownership moving forward. So that's certainly a big one that will come, in 2020 when the new CPA gets signed. The second big one that I see is the pharmacy workforce. So what we're finding, we're just starting to see, is some signs of undersupply of pharmacists, particularly in rural areas. And I think that'll be a key thing for the pharmacy market moving forward, because if pharmacy owners aren't able to get pharmacists in rural areas or even in some metropolitan areas, that's going to have a huge impact on the pharmacy workforce and how pharmacies are staffed, and also the ability for pharmacies to do new professional services, immunisations, and all the new services that are coming through pharmacies and the new opportunities there as well. And the third major risk that I see is increasing in interest rates. So obviously we're at all-time lows in terms of interest rates, and obviously we hear about that a lot in terms of the residential and housing market. But for pharmacy owners, that's obviously how their money, or a lot of their money, is borrowed through the bank. So any increase in interest rates can have an impact, obviously will have an impact on their repayments to the banks. So I think over the next few years, as we do see those increasing in interest rates, that's also a risk moving forward. So it's really important that all pharmacy owners, start to plan for those changes and mitigate any risks associated with those. But like I said earlier, there's been risks in pharmacy since I've been involved and well before that, and there are risks in any business operation that you're working in or that you own as well. So it's all about, mitigating those risks as much as possible.
When a business is sold, the person who's selling it wants to get as much money as they possibly can, and the person buying it wants to pay as little as they can, and hopefully they can meet somewhere in the middle. What can a pharmacy owner do to achieve the best price in their business sale? And I'm interested if you're able to break that up, if possible, into timeframes, in terms of here's some things you should always be doing to make sure that everything's running smoothly, and even some of those things that you spoke about then about planning and mitigating for risk, and some of the stuff in the middle that this is what you should do as soon as you think you might get serious about selling, and then even a little bit closer, so just before you decide to put your business on the market.
You've hit the nail on the head there, Daniel. I think that's really what my job is about, trying to get the vendor and the purchaser to meet somewhere in the middle in terms of price. But in terms of when a pharmacy owner does want to sell their business, preparation is probably the most important thing that we see, and how you've broken that up into timeframes, that's really important, because a lot of people, what they do is they make the decision to sell and then they go, okay, what do I want to do? What do I need to do now? But there are things that people should be doing throughout their business ownership that will make them make the process much more easier for them, and also help them to achieve the best purchase price in the sale as well. So firstly, ensuring that the financial information that they prepare is accurate and easy to interpret for buyers, and also readily available. So having that information, for 3 to 5 years before the sale process, having that information completed firstly by the accountant, and also easy to interpret and readily available, makes the sale process much easier. So from that, 3 to 5 year period before they want to sell, it's important that pharmacy owners do have that financial information ready to go. When they do go to market, it's really important that owners are open and transparent with the information that they do provide to buyers, because essentially the buyers will be basing their offer price on the information that they're receiving. And if they get half the information, or not full set of financials, or not full disclosure about certain things, then obviously their price is going to be impacted as well. Again, working with experts in the field, I think, is really important. You're going to get really close with both your business broker and your solicitor throughout the process, and you'll be speaking to them a lot. So it's really important, firstly, that you trust them, Also, secondly, that they know pharmacy, and thirdly, that they're experts in the field. And you're going to engage with them just before you go to market with them. But I think pharmacy owners are very lucky in the sense that as business brokers and as solicitors and pharmacy accountants as well, because we all work in the industry specifically, most of us, it means that we're all going to all the conferences, attending all the events and really networking with pharmacy owners throughout our careers. And owners are very lucky in the sense that they should use that information and network with these people before they need to sell. So then they get updates on the market and information and what's impacting the market and what buyers are like at the moment. So then when it does come time to sell, they know who they want to use, they're ready to go, and they can move quickly. And the final tip that we often give buyers is give vendors in the sale process is be prepared to move fairly quickly. So it's not usually a quick process. Usually we leave about 2 to 6 months in terms of the sale process, but sometimes you can get offers in fairly quickly. And what you find is that when that does happen, the vendor can often get a little bit nervous that maybe the offers come in too quickly and they're not ready to sell yet and we need to leave it on the market for a bit longer to get the best price. But often what you will find is that the first offers that come through can sometimes be the best offers, because that buyer may have been in the market for a very long time and this business come along that's just exactly what they're looking for. So what you find is that when a vendor goes to market, it's important that they are ready to move quickly. If they need to, it's not always the case, but if they need to, then they can be ready to move quickly. And part of that comes with being realistic about what market price they want, but also understanding the market and understanding how business value works. So when they do get that good offer, they can move forward and get the sale process done.
Let's flip it. What are some of the things you see pharmacy owners doing that could hurt their sale price in the long run, or even just kill a sale dead, full stop?
That's a really interesting one as well. And we see a bit of that go on. And obviously, in my role, we try to limit it as much as possible. But flipping it exactly right. So not having clear financial information, not being willing to provide that information to a buyer. One thing that we see often is vendors overestimating the value of their business. And this is not unique to pharmacy. This is in every industry. There's a thing called, or hypothesis called, the endowment effect, which essentially means that people ascribe more value to things merely because they own them rather than actually seeing an independent view on them. So that's something that we see a lot, and all business brokers see it across all industries. But what you find is that if people set too high a price for their business when they go to market, it can sometimes scare the buyers off, and then have a negative impact on the overall sales process. So it's really important that we set a reasonable asking price. Obviously, we're trying to achieve the top price in terms of what the seller gets out of the business, but it's also important that you're reasonable in that regard and have understanding of how the pharmacy market and pharmacy values work as well. And probably the final one is, sometimes we see vendors that aren't emotionally ready to let go of the business. And it seems like quite a simple thing, but in terms of pharmacy ownership, a lot of pharmacy owners have been in their business. You know, we just sold a business recently where the owner started the business 35 years ago, lived in the area and had been there his whole life. And it was really quite an emotional process for him, because as a pharmacy owner, if you work in the business, you're also part of the community. Your staff members are like your family. It's a real team atmosphere.
It's part of your identity, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And you'll see even a lot of, you know, you would have seen, Daniel, a lot of pharmacists have their name on the wall as well. So it might be Tom Jones's Pharmacy or Sally Jones's Pharmacy. And it is an identity, as you just said. So that can sometimes be a bit overlooked in the sales process, but is probably one of the most important things, because, you know, the vendor, when it does come time to accept an offer, really needs to be ready for that and ready for what comes next as well.
So there's some of the things that pharmacy owners should be doing sort of a while out from a sale, medium term, and also a little bit closer. Some things to avoid as well. On the other side of the fence, what are the key points or key data elements that pharmacy business buyers, potential buyers, should look out for when considering buying a pharmacy?
In terms of buyers, you know, the main thing that when I speak to buyers about is they've got to remember it's about the future potential of the business. So as much as when we value or do market assessments for businesses, we always look at historical results for the business. But the only reason we do that is to get a good idea for what it may achieve moving forward. And that's really important for buyers to look at the business in terms of what do they think it can achieve in the future. How will it operate under their ownership? How will the financial results change under their ownership? Will they be able to improve it, or will there be some downfall or some changes in the transition? So it's really important to always look at the future. Consider the risks, obviously, financial risks, operational risks, locational risks, but then also look at the opportunities as well. What new ideas can they bring to the pharmacy? What new strategies can they implement? What changes that can they make that would improve the customer's outcome or the customer's value that they get from the pharmacy? So it's really important. You know, it's easy to sometimes look at the past and consider that that will be the same moving forward, but it's really important for a young buyer or any buyer looking to buy into a business, consider the future and what they can do with the business, and that's the number one tip I give to buyers for sure.
People would look at a potential pharmacy to buy and maybe it isn't performing great in some areas, but they think to themselves, I can make it work. I'll be better at it. I have lots of ideas and passion. That's come up in the conversation a couple of times already. But how much danger is there in the romance of owning a business?
Yes, yeah, definitely. That's a big one, Daniel. And I think it's a tough one because a lot of young owners in particular do have that romance associated with owning the business. And they see, I guess, you know, through tainted glasses perhaps, or rose-coloured glasses, I should say, how it can be as an owner versus a manager. And I think it's easy to get stuck into that way of thinking. I think it's a great way of thinking in the fact that you are looking for opportunities and looking for benefits and looking for positives, but it's also really important to be realistic, not just about the business, but also about your own skills as well and your own abilities. And if you are going into ownership for a first time, I think that's really important to make sure that you're aware of what your skills will be and where you can perhaps get external help. So there are definitely risks associated with that, and I think it's important that young buyers in particular speak to, I've said it a few times already, but you know, I think it's important, speak to experts in the field, but also speak to current pharmacy owners or previous pharmacy owners that have experience in that so that they can have a fairly realistic view moving forward for what the business can do and what it will do. But overall, I think it's a good way to look at a business because in the sense that you're looking for the opportunities, you're looking for ways that you can make it better, and sometimes that's when you see the best turnarounds, when a new owner comes into the business, makes a few changes, a few twinges here and there, and that can make a huge difference to the overall performance.
In your opinion, having helped lots of people buy a pharmacy, what personal characteristics do you think help ensure success? Because you're not just moving into a job with a salary anymore. It's much bigger than that.
I think I said it from the sales side as well, but preparation is the most important thing in terms of buying and having that plan, knowing what you want to do when you get in the business, but having a plan for how you are going to do it. Because as you mentioned, the difference between, you know, just a job with a salary or being a pharmacy manager going up to ownership is a huge step. And a lot of times you see that sometimes people are a bit overconfident with their skills or don't appreciate the full extent of how large that difference can be, even from a mindset change point. You know, it's a huge differential. So I think in terms of helping success in that process, it's firstly really important that they have a plan for what they want to do. They have steps in that plan for how to execute each part of the process. And what we find that works really well, and it's, you know, it can be through a partnership type arrangement, but even young buyers that go into sole ownership, we find that a lot of them often have mentors, and pharmacy owners are, from my point of view and my experience, are very good at sharing their knowledge and very open to sharing their knowledge with other pharmacists as well. So that's one thing that works really well, a mentorship type arrangement where a current pharmacy owner can help you through the steps that they took to make changes in their business, how to go about certain things, and what you need to do once you're in there. So I think that's a really important thing, and we often see great successful mentor-mentoree type relationships that work really well.
Some people might have the opportunity to buy into as a partnership or buy outright as a sole owner, a pharmacy they already work in. Do you think that's a good option, or should they really be looking to find an opportunity where they come into a pharmacy new and have the ability to really own it and inject some new ideas and passion without any previous employment history and relationship hangovers?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Well, look, I think there's benefits either way, as you mentioned, and I think knowing a business or working previously a business that you're going to go into ownership is a really great way to do it. And we see a lot of success comes from that usually, because what you find is that often when pharmacists are working in a pharmacy already, they'll have ideas that they want to implement and they'll see things that they think can be improved, and they know the business as well. A lot of the risk in terms of buying a business outright that you've never worked in comes from not knowing all of the full details of the pharmacy. So you could look at a financial statement and go, oh, you know, I could improve that. You know, I could maybe reduce wages a little bit or improve my gross margin or make a few changes here and there. But if you haven't worked in the business, you often don't know whether that will work or not and whether the changes are fundamental to the business or whether they would actually be able to, you know, be tweaked here or there. So having worked in the business previously makes it much better in the sense that you know what you're getting into, you know what you're buying, you can have confidence for the business moving forward, and you probably have some ideas for what you can change. Having said that, maybe the current owner, if you buy into partnership, doesn't want too many changes, so that's something that can be a little bit tough to have that conversation or implement those changes. So there are benefits either way, but one thing I would say is if you're buying into a business where you've already worked in the past, it's really important that you do a full analysis and full review as part of your purchase process, because as much as you think you know the business, there might be some things here or there that you missed in the financials or that might be reported differently than what you estimated. So it's really critical that you seek independent advice so that you can have some fresh eyes run over it just to make sure you're buying what you think you're buying.
You've mentioned a couple of times about a plan once you move into the ownership of a pharmacy. Can we get into some more detail? Let's say somebody's just bought a pharmacy. Are there some specific areas that you think are really important that plan, absolutely, they're non-negotiables? You have to have something, some ideas, some steps that actually focus on those areas.
Look, that's a really important one, Daniel. And I think the thing is as well is you almost don't want to make too many changes right off the bat, because what you'll find is that when the business changes hands, obviously there's the change of ownerships and customers and clients would be aware of that. The patients coming into the pharmacies would be aware of that. And that's all, you know, already one big change to the business operations. So often you don't want to make too many more changes in the business straight away. So for the first 3 to 6 months, we would often recommend to buyers that they don't make too many changes right away, that what they do is they start to build up their relationship with the customers, and give the customers consistency throughout the transition from previous owner to new ownership. And then once they've started to build up that relationship with the customers and the patients then understand and know that they'll get the same consistent service from you, then you can start to implement the plan. And in terms of what those changes may be that's in your plan, it will really depend on the pharmacy itself And a lot of those changes will come up as part of the due diligence process. So when you're buying a business, you'll go through the due diligence, check all the things that you want to check off in terms of the financial statements, in terms of the qualitative information for the business. And the whole process is to make sure essentially you're buying what you think you actually are buying. And as part of that, what we encourage people to do is sit down, whether it be with their mentor, with their accountants, or with other pharmacy owners, and identify what are the areas that they think they can improve on this business. Write those down as part of the due diligence process. Then, once they're settled in the new business, go through those changes and implement those changes. But it's really critical that they're settled in the new business before they start to make those, because what you find is sometimes if someone goes into a new business, makes all the changes at once, customers become uneasy. They know they're not going to get that consistent service, or they may be thrown off a little bit, and then it causes them to look elsewhere. So it's really important that you keep it consistent initially and then go about that plan. And the plan will vary depending on what pharmacy you buy. So, you know, each pharmacy will have different things that you can change and different things that you can do to make it bigger and better.
And it's probably important also to note for the listeners that not only does too many changes potentially negatively impact the customers, can certainly get the staff offside as well. Now, Natalie, some of the changes that can be implemented in a pharmacy, you've got complete control over. It's all good. We decide whether we're going to do it or we're not. What's your opinion on the new changes to the pharmacy location rules that we don't have much control over at all that commenced on October 3?
Look, it's still very early days on the changes, obviously, only just coming in October 3rd. But definitely, I think from my point of view, they're fairly positive changes to the location rules. I think the one change that I think is probably not ideal was the change they make to the nearest pharmacy for the large medical centre rule. That was probably one that I don't really know why they did that. But other than that, I think in general, they'll be pretty positive overall for pharmacy, and especially the shopping centre location one. So they've essentially removed the backfilling option for large shopping centres, or they're at least delaying the process for 12 months. And I think that'll be really good in terms of large shopping centre landlords having a bit less power in the negotiation now, because certainly in terms of rental negotiations, the large shopping centre rule essentially meant that they could hold hostage a little bit the pharmacy owners in the centre. So I think that's a really good change, and it was really required for that. So I think that will overall have a positive impact. But I think it's important that pharmacy owners just be careful and make sure they understand what the changes are and they stay on top of them. And each owner, I think it's really important that they assess how these changes will affect them, and certainly speak to a pharmacy solicitor or a broker or a valuer that can help them through that process to know if their pharmacy is impacted by these new changes.
Having such broad knowledge of the industry, but also some really inside and close knowledge because you work with buyers and sellers day in, day out on the nitty-gritty of the businesses, what three tips would you give to any pharmacy business owner or an aspiring pharmacy business owner that they should focus on over the next few years to help with their success of their business?
Firstly, definitely, I think the most important thing for any business owner or aspiring owner would be to ensure that they track and monitor the financial performance of their pharmacy. Obviously, you know, it goes without saying, if you don't measure it, how can you manage it? And I think that's one thing that's really critical, and some pharmacy owners have perhaps missed that a little bit over the last few years, and they're probably the ones that, you know, wake up one day and then go, oh no, what's perhaps happened? Where's all the money going? So I think first and foremost, it's really important to continue to track and monitor your pharmacy business and how it's all going. Secondly, I think it's really important for pharmacy owners and aspiring owners as well to look at the positives. I think it's easy in, you know, pharmacy press and news at the moment to read a lot of doom and gloom and to start to worry about the future. And I personally think there are many opportunities for pharmacy moving forward and, you know, a whole new scope of work in terms of professional services and all the opportunities that come along with that as well. So I think it can sometimes be easy to get drawn into the doom and gloom of it all. But I think it's important for owners to look at the positives and ensure they have their eyes focused on that and then look for the new opportunities that are coming up. And probably finally, in terms of my tip for a business owner, would be if you are concerned about something in the pharmacy financials or operations, make sure you seek some independent advice because I think from what I've seen in terms of the businesses that have got in trouble over the last few years, often what you see is that the owners left it too long before they act. They've left it too long before they start asking questions about the financials or investigate what might be going on. So if there is something going on in your business that you're not sure about, make sure you get it addressed. Make sure you act quickly on it. And what you find is that the people that are able to do that will then be able to, move quickly through a problem and have a better outcome in the end. And I think the people that leave it too long are definitely, from my point of view, the ones that you sometimes see in trouble, and then they come and it's almost too late sometimes. So I think if there is something that you're concerned about in pharmacy, make sure you seek some independent advice from it and act quickly on it. Don't leave things too late.
Natalie, if people want to find out more about you and Attain and how you can help them, including accessing some of the great resources I saw that you have on your site during my research for this chat, what can they do?
Definitely love for anyone to get in touch with me. As you can tell, I love to speak about the pharmacy market and business sales and how it all works. So more than happy for people to give me a call at any time. But also on our website, we've got, which is www.iattain.com.au is my blog, and I usually write the blog once every 2 weeks, every fortnight. A new article goes up there, and it's about either buying or selling or my views on the market or the process or anything like that. So definitely people can jump on the website, but give me a call at any time. My phone number is 1300 ATTAIN, so 1300 288 246, and like I said, I love talking about the pharmacy market, so happy to speak to anyone that wants to discuss it with me.
And of course, listeners will have all those details for those to get in contact with Natalie in the show notes. Natalie Siriani, pharmacy business broker at Attain Business Brokers, thank you so much for joining us on the show and discussing all things buying and selling of pharmacies.
Thanks very much, Daniel, and thanks for the opportunity.
Great chat with Natalie there, with not only the expected big picture things that both buyers and sellers need to consider, but also some really detailed and practical advice. So if you are looking to sell your pharmacy business anytime soon, I hope some of Natalie's advice helps you achieve a great sale price. And if you are looking to own your own pharmacy, I hope Natalie's advice helps you make an informed and the right decisions and you realize your dream. As Natalie mentioned, if you would like to connect with her, just visit www.iattain.com.au and you can discuss how she can help you. Plus, as Natalie mentioned, there is a great blog on the site with loads more helpful advice. Well, members, don't forget you can always contact your local Guild branch for further information and support, or you can visit guild.org.au to access a complete range of diagnostic and operational support tools to assist you in identifying current opportunities available to your pharmacy, target business areas that require attention, and then provide the operational support needed to do something about it. Until next time, I'm Daniel Oyston, and you've been listening to episode 5 of the Pharmacy Business and Career Network podcast, brought to you by the Pharmacy Guild of Australia.
The PBCN podcast, supporting your journey every step of the way. For more resources, to access support or advice, or to view this episode's show notes, visit guild.org.au.